one, the famous one. And we're going to start off with that one first. Nicholas, come on up here, please. Now, as you see on the screen here, David was a man after God's heart. And the big story. Now, David, who was not a very big man, as you can see, but he was big on faith. No, hey, give me a muscle right quick. David had to go up against the big bully, Joel.
Oh! 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 Oh, man, I'm never volunteering again.
Exactly, as you can see, outside, little man here goes up and gets giant, gets dropped. Big bully. Now, Joe, I'm holding this to your heart.
Okay.
Now, Goliath, he's big, he's mean, intimidating, but his heart, well, he did not have much of a belief or faith or love for God, as you can see right now. And Goliath there being mean and a big sourpuss on top of all that. Now, meanwhile, David, hold that up here. David had a big heart, had love and faith for God, and was after, you know, the heart of God. And well, as we all know, David here chops off the head of Goliath, and I won't tell you, growls, and you don't have a head no more. So, this is the main story that everybody knew. This is what I knew. But I didn't know there's others, and we're going to be talking about that today. Thank you, guys.
Goliath, your head's over there.
He brought it.
Okay, to start off with, David is seeks God's counsel, and you know, trying to be working with, you know, to be working with God and showing ways, and also turning your Bibles to the $5 bill. Well, actually, that's for me. But Psalms 25. Okay, as you know, David wrote this psalm and all. A plea of deliverance and forgiveness. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Now, I wish I could have read this to a young lady that I talked to yesterday. She works at the City Mart and all, and I told her, you know, what was going on today and what I'm doing. And she goes, well, you know, when I was in rehab, she read the Bible, you know, plenty of time of it. And then she did bring in, you know, God and Jesus into her life. Now, she's not the hallelujah backward flip type Christian and all that. But she talked that, you know, there's times I want to talk about God, but I might bore them and all that. And I couldn't think of this right off the bat, even after reading it. So this goes out to her, you know. Don't be ashamed to be talking about God, no. Going on, let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. So those are the ones that, you know, that better be watching out. Hi, Jordan. Glad you made it. Thursday, I told Jordan, we're going to have a guest speaker here today. So come on and check out. Well, who is it? Well, I'm not going to tell you. There she is. Glad you made it. Okay, going with verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That's a pretty darn good one, because I've been asking that a whole lot here recently. Lend me your truth and teach me, for you are God of my salvation. O you, I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies, your loving kindness, for they are from the old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. That's kind of a neat one in a way, because your old ways and your bad ways that you've done in the past, when you accept Jesus into your heart, he does forgive you about all that.
Amen.
So, Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he gives injustice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as he covenanted and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach the way he chooses. So, yeah, it's a good thing to be fearing the Lord. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and he his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Long time ago, I was having a bad attitude with God, and I was not showing fear. And boy, howdy, he woke me up with a good slap upside of the head. Now today I'm standing here. So, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. In the beginning of when I was starting this routine, you know, today, it was really having a hard time trying to get it all figured out. I was having a lot of cross thoughts and mixed up thoughts. And well, thank God, Pastor Martin helped me get everything in order and straightened out and all. So, yeah, there was distressing going on and all that good stuff. Because, you know, this is all new to me. Okay, on 18, look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. And yeah, I've been, you know, facing with people with that same thing. I started talking about God and they just don't want to hear it. And some get downright mean and ugly about the whole thing. And then, after a while, was in John where you go to a city and they don't want to hear the word. Well, you walk out of the city and you dust off your feet and all, and then go on to the next one. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of their troubles. So that's just kind of based on what I'm going to be reading about today on David and what goes on. So so now I'm going to talk about listening and obeying God, in which, you know, at times David had a problem about doing that. There are some days that he was not listening to God, and he goes with his own intentions and his own ideas, and he gets in trouble about it. But over the course of time, a prophet named Gad started working with him, giving him the instructions of God, and finally David is, you know, soaking it in and getting it going. And as I said earlier, there's many stories about David, a whole bunch of them. And Mark planted one little seed when we first started talking about this. And this is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 23. You know, we'll turn to that. And this is a simple little easy thing for me to be working with and started getting, you know, what I'm going to be saying and doing. This is a time period that David was saves the city of Kingdom. And starting on 23 at 1, then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors." Now, see, Philistines are just barbarians. They're not farmers. You know, they may be hunters and all, but basically they're just warriors, and they wait for the right time when they start farming their crops and gathering up the grains of wheat and oats and all. And then they come in, kill the people, and they try and steal all this stuff. So this is what David is going to have to start going up for. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines?" Now, in those days, God was talking with people. God talked to Noah and told him what to what to do. And by the way, I haven't heard anything about building a boat right now, so I guess we're safe on that. And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him, said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So there you go. David heard from God. He obeyed. He listened. He believed. And so did all his men. And they were able to conquer the Philistines on this route. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah. Then he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul, who was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for the war to go down to Keilah and besiege David and his men. So, you know, for some reason or another, there was bad rumors about David was going to go after Saul. Saul's starting to go after David. And starting on verse 10 now. Then David said, O Lord of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. So later on, okay, let's see. Now I'm going to start down to 16. Now, this is when God protects, wait a minute. This is where David is going to be making a pact with Jonathan, who is the son of Saul. Okay, David was in the wilderness of Ziph and all. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king of over Israel, and I shall be next to you. So later on, Jonathan and David made a pact and became good friends and all, and it was that, you know, help him out. There we go. I'm going to get stuck here for a minute, but. Okay, later on there, there was a mountain that was going on. It was in the wilderness of Moab. And on one side of a mountain was Saul and like 3,000 people coming after David. David was on the other side of the mountain. And he only had like about 300. And as they were there, a messenger came to Saul. I hear God, you know, is in on the deal. But a messenger, you know, this is on verse 27. But a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Therefore, Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called this place the Rock of Escape. So here you go. See, God helped out David. So, you know, they had to go on back and, take on the Philistine. Meanwhile, David goes on off. Now, later on, going into chapter 24, this is the story to where David spared Saul's life. And this is where it happened at. It was in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of wild goats. So he came to the sheepfold of the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend his needs.
Yeah. Mine says to relieve himself.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that.
He's attending to the
bathroom. Yeah. He couldn't even use the bathroom.
Yeah, there it is. David and his men were staying in the recess of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. Now here we go. David is going to be facing up to his enemy, and what you going to do about this? Now we're talking about a man who is after the heart of God. And, well, let's see what he does. And David arose secretly, let's see. Oh, yeah. And David arose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Didn't cut his throat. He just cut off a piece of his robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. The Lord's anointed to stretch out my hand against him, seeing is that it is anointed of the Lord. So yeah, see, when you become a king, you're anointed by God now. And David here, well, he knows of this. So as you can see, he didn't kill him. So David restrained his servants with these words, and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out to the cave and called out to Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind, David stood with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, Why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm. Look, this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I say, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see corners of your robe in my hand. For that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Knowing to see there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt me, you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between us and you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. And as the proverb of the ages say, wickedness proceeds from the wicked. So as you can see, David there, man after the, God's heart and all that, finally realized that, going around killing people and all that, God's not going to be very happy with you. So, pretty much got it, huh?
Well, surely we have questions.
Okay. So, like I got written down here, let the Lord, judge between you and me, and I will be in right in God and Lord's eyes and all. So, it's kind of amazing to me, and later on I'll read out more, learn more stories and all that kind of good stuff. So other than that, that's pretty much what I want to say. And, oh, I got one more point of interest to write down, or, you know, that I wrote down here and all. You know, when it comes to the book of Psalms, Asaph wrote 12 books. And Solomon, David's son, wrote 2 books. Moses wrote 1. Ethan wrote 1. Kona wrote 12. And David wrote 73. So this is, you know, this is a neat little thing that I learned not too long ago. So there we go.
All right. Good job.
As the people say, good to you. That's all, folks.
Thank you. All right,
good job. Then I guess it's just a choice of ours whether we show someone or we make a choice and do God's work.
Well, I think you brought out some points that David was given a choice by God, as you're catching on to, that, you know, he's in your hands. And what choice did David make? Just to cut off the corner of his rope to demonstrate that Saul's life was in his hands, but he didn't take it. And why was that? Because he feared God's anointed. He respected God's anointed. And we think that David had a lot more impact on Saul and David's men by doing that. You know, David's men were saying, go get him, cut his head off.
Well, you know, in a way, it does make you the better person. When over the years I lived down in Texas, you know, I was, associated with some, you know, with a couple of pretty bad people. One guy, I mean, just took advantage of me and not paying me a lot of money. And in the long run, when we finally met up, I got nothing but threats from him. And the only thing I had to say later is, keep a look over your shoulder and don't walk past a dark corner because I just might be there. Yeah, that's the way I felt about things at that time. But I let it go. You know, I mean, it's just not worth throwing my life away because somebody else is being a total jerk. And then another one, even though he was a close friend, later on got kind of mean and snarly and ugly and was always being mean with me and hurting me and all that, and there are some days he was bigger, you know, it's like David against the Goliath. Well, I could put him away with a piece of steel in a heartbeat. But once again, I said, well, you know, first of all, I'm a volunteer fireman right at that time, and under the Good Samaritan program, you can't go around beating up people with steel. You know? And it's as simple as that. And over the course of time, well, I had to let that one go too. So, you know, and I forget, definitely, because, you know, like I said, it makes me the better person. So,
yeah, so there's a quote you can take home from the sermon. Good Samaritans can't beat people up with steel.
Yeah. Amen.
Ray, you got one?
Are we not all?
I think what the reference in Kings was that kings were literally anointed with the mantle of leadership from God, and that was an anointing, a type of anointing. We're anointed by the Holy Spirit, but in that time, the leaders, the kings, went through a ceremony where the priests would anoint the king literally with oil. And so, for example, we see earlier on in 1 Samuel where Samuel the priest went out to David and anointed him as king as a young child, a young man. He didn't take the office of the kingship until later on when Saul died, but he was anointed to be king. And so David had this respect for God's chosen leadership. And that's the context of the anointed there.
Wouldn't it be safe to say that King Saul was anointed a little higher than... And because what I'm saying to you is that we're all anointed because... We are temples of God.
Right. I mean, the lesson I take from this is, you know, any human life, you know, I should consider before I would take it.
Sure.
That person's anointed by God.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I take from that. I mean, I get that he was anointed. There was a special anointment for him. But,
yeah. Well, for kings that Daniel was under, Nebuchadnezzar was, you know, he became king of Babylon and all that. And well, you know, it's God that, you know, it, as I said, God gave him all, you know, gave him the kingship and all. And one day, now, you better watch out because God anoints you and gives you something. Don't get stupid. And Nebuchadnezzar did. And he took away everything. And a great king becomes a person living in the wilderness with the mind of an animal. And had to be that way for about 7 years until he finally realized, okay, you're the one, not me. So
I think that would have been about 2 days, not 7 days.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. So let's go on to our one another time. This is your time to bring testimonies or scripture, blessings, confessions.